she's real fine, my 409.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing on 105.3 The Fan.
Well, good morning. Welcome to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing with your host, David Blassingame.
Good morning.
Tammy Pickard.
I just want to sing.
Do it. Go for it. No. Sing along to some Beach Boys for us. Normally we have Lane Lewis, a.k.a. Redbeard. Today we've got JP with us. Can we call you Blackbeard?
Ooh.
Is that racist?
That was close, wasn't it?
You do have a black beard.
I'm black and I do have a beard, yeah.
Okay, but
and
Blackbeard
it's black beard.
Blackbeard was a pirate. I'm just saying.
What was Redbeard?
Yeah, he was a pirate, wasn't he?
I think so. Okay. I think they were all, if you had a beard after your name, you were a pirate.
David, we could call you Mr.
Graybeard.
Graybeard, I didn't want to say it.
Stop. Y'all are so funny.
And I'm Sybil Summers. Welcome. We're here every Saturday morning taking your phone calls, 877-881-1053, and your Autoflex Leasing fan text at 43733. And you can call Autoflex. They are open today. What are the numbers, Dave?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234, out of the area. As always, autoflex.com, where you can follow along if you go to our Facebook page with all of the stories we're going to do today. And I was going to say, there is a great video on the Facebook page at autoflex.com. It is a Jeff Gordon second test drive kind of a thing. You know, the first test drive he did with the car salesman was a big viral video.
Yep.
Well, a lot of people thought it was a fake. And one of those people that thought it was a fake worked at Jalopnik, the magazine, the online magazine. So they set this guy up. And he walks out of a hotel and gets in a cab, and you got to watch the rest of it. You can see that at autoflex.com. Go to our Facebook page and like us, and that Jeff Gordon video is there. It is hilarious. It's one of the funniest
that
I've ever seen.
All right, I'm going to go log in, so y'all just do the show for the next couple minutes.
I would like to just imagine if that had been me, because I have been known to tell a taxi driver just exactly how to drive.
Oh, yeah.
Put down that phone.
Mm-hmm.
Stop speeding. I'm calling somebody else to pick me up at the next light if you don't slow your roll.
And they listen?
Mm-hmm.
So if you've ever had to tell a cab driver, text us and let us know your story, because I want to know if people really say anything. I don't ever speak up. I just sit back there and grit my teeth and hang on tight.
Why?
I don't know, because I feel like he's the professional, and if he came in here and went, don't do this on the radio, I'd be like, dude, you don't have to tell me how to do this. I do it every day.
Okay, I wasn't just telling him how to drive because he was doing a good job as it was. He
right.
was not doing well to begin with, and that's when I felt the need to go ahead and say,
intervene.
Slow it down. Well, he's driving too fast, and if he's scaring me a little bit.
Yeah.
And I was with all my friends, so I was in the front seat, right?
Mm-hmm.
So because there were four of us, and so I saw more than they did.
Yeah. I'm just passive-aggressive about it, though. I would be like, man, this guy drives really fast.
No, I'm aggressive.
And then hope that he took the hint.
You got to see the video. It's hilarious.
I don't wait for men to take a hint.
There you go. All right. So J.D. Power came out with their annual list of dependability, and a couple people in this room are going to be excited to know who was number one.
Well, that and yeah, exactly. And also Consumer Reports came out with their report the same week. And it's sort of interesting because if you look at both reports, some of them have different cars ranked in different places. So I think the first thing to realize is they actually study two different things, and that's why you have the different actions. The initial quality study done by J.D. Powers looks at problems owners have with their vehicles in the first 3 years of ownership. So it broadly defines problems as things that have caused a complete breakdown or a malfunction or something like that. Consumer Reports surveys ask respondents whether they have had any problems with their cars in the past 12 months that they consider to be a problem. And so you get two really different reflections. One is a study of a car over 3 years. The other is a study of a three-year-old car currently. So that's why you have different cars that rate differently. And if you're trying to figure out which one should I get, look at both studies and pick a car that both rank high.
Mm-hmm. So I wonder, they say they survey the owners. I'm just curious to know if they pull the warranty repair records, because for the first 3 years, the majority of these cars, they're covered under warranty for 336, and some cars have a little bit longer. So I'm wondering if they ever take the shop records.
Yeah, J.D. Power does use shop records. In fact, that's one of their biggest things, is they look at the warranty claims. Consumer Report, no. They talk to people that report to them, mm-hmm. and then they buy the car and test drive it themselves. So two very big, because J.D. Power doesn't buy any cars or test drive them. It's simply a reflection of reported claims.
Right.
Okay? So if you looked at J.D. Power, Lexus won for the fourth straight year as the most reliable brand of car in the first 3 years of ownership.
Ooh, ooh.
I would have put money on that and won.
I love my Autoflex Lexus.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's a great car.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Number two was Buick. Toyota, Cadillac, and Honda rounded out the top five.
I'm really proud of Buick. Yay, GM.
They've done a really good job. Buicks are great cars.
They've changed a lot.
They have, and the ones I've driven have been really, really tight, really quiet, and, mm-hmm. and just good cars, and evidently fairly trouble-free in the first 3 years of ownership.
And way more stylish looking, too.
Yeah.
Definitely. This is not your father's Buick.
Right.
And then their dad, aww, that was Oldsmobile.
I know.
they have also sort of changed the entire perception of Buick through a very successful marketing program that is the most successful marketing program in the automotive business in the last 5 years. People looking out the window saying, what kind of car did our neighbors get? Or I'll pick you up in a Buick, and then the people wander around right past them not realizing that what they're seeing is a Buick.
Yeah.
That's actually really creative.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Love that.
Have you seen it where the girl gets in the car with the guy that's like eating a burrito and she's like, oh.
No.
She thought it was a Buick. She goes and gets in this car, shuts the door, and there's this guy sitting there like, what are you doing? Trying to eat his burrito or...
That's great.
Autoflex Leasing Fantex, DART drivers and taxi drivers are the worst drivers on the road. We'll take that up later. Okay. If you looked at vehicle lines, Toyota won half of the eight awards in the car segment. GM won three. Mercedes-Benz was the highest-ranked midsize premium car.
They have made great strides. They had real problems up to like even 10 years ago and less.
Yep.
They had some real serious issues with their midsize cars, so I'm happy for them.
So, again, if you keep looking, the utility segment, GM brand won 11. Pardon me, won 4 of 11. Toyota won 3. Mercedes-Benz GLK won. The Kia Sportage won. The Honda Ridgeline won, which, interestingly enough, is a car that they have discontinued and are about to build a new model of the Ridgeline. And the Nissan Murano also won in their segments. The biggest issues are with Bluetooth connectivity and the infotainment system in the car.
The voice recognition.
Yeah.
All has an issue getting their car to do what you're telling it to do.
And this goes back to 2012. You got to think about that. And it's really generational between now and 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Things work so much better. I mean, how much better is your car?
Yes, I had the 2011 Lexus IS250, and Siri never understood me over Bluetooth. And then I told you guys, now that I have the 2015, she's perfect. She and I get along great these days.
That's awesome.
So
you need to get along with your phone and your car for sure.
Yes.
So if you look from top to bottom, then the very lowest rank were the Fiat and the Land Rover, and I can personally attest to that from talking to our customers. They've got a lot of problems, and the biggest thing with Land Rover is they've just got so many gizmos and gadgets that something's pretty well bound to break.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You can raise and lower the height. Here's the deal. It does not at all dissuade anyone from wanting a Land Rover.
Right. Well, that's like me with Jaguars. That's my dream car, even though you guys tell me all the time, okay, but be prepared. Mm-hmm. You're going to have some issues with it.
Be sure and have your second car.
Right. A backup.
Well, I always told people getting a Land Rover, put a bike rack on it, because you're going to need to be able to get where you were headed when the car just lays down on you.
Aww.
They are fabulous, and it does not at all deter the desire. Everybody wants one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and the people that have them love them. I mean, our customers that have them absolutely love them, but they do put them in the shop from time to time. So anyway, if you wanted to, moving right along, let's look over at the Consumer Reports list, because it's different. But they reported that Buick cracked the top 10 on their list for the very first time. And if you looked at their list, it starts with Lexus and then goes Mazda, Toyota, Audi, Subaru. And you're going to see a big difference in those two reports if you compare them side by side. Again, you can go to Autoflex Leasing's Facebook page, and you can see both of those reports in total and see the differences, because it's pretty remarkable. Now, one of the things that is pretty constant is the Mini did not do well on the Consumer Reports, neither did the Jeep, neither did the Fiat.
Oh, I love Minis and Jeeps. Is there a reason why? A
lot of problems.
Just
things that go wrong, you know? People want a problem-proof car, and there's probably not ever going to be one of those, but that's what everyone desires. And new technology sometimes can really get you. We talked about Ford and how Ford really had low ratings a couple of years ago, especially because of their voice recognition and their infotainment system. It caused them to be rated, and they're great cars, but it caused them to be rated low because they had so many problems with that. You couldn't hook your phone up to it, you know?
Yeah, but
Fiat wouldn't stay connected.
Yeah.
Yeah, Fiat, like you said, is the bottom of both of them, though.
Yeah.
Dead last.
Yep.
That says a lot about it.
Well, the old saying with Fiat was "Fix it again, Tony." That's when they were made in Italy. So they were hoping, I'm sure, that that was. I promise you, that's what people said in the industry. They were hoping that that wouldn't carry forward, but it appears to have carried forward so far.
That's too bad. And that it's not rated there because of the lack of desirability, because those cars are cute and you know, they're like puglies.
Yeah,
you know, but it's the problems with the car.
Right.
Toyota and Lexus, they're always number one with the fewest problems.
Yes, indeed. We got to take a quick break. We'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
Welcome back. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing with your host, David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, a.k.a. TP, the total package. JP filling in for Lane Lewis today. We like to call him Blackbeard. And I'm Sybil. Welcome. If you want to give us a call, the phone number 877-881-1053 or send us your AutoFlex Leasing fan text at 43733. And if you're in the market for a new or certified pre-owned vehicle, the best place to go is AutoFlex Leasing. And what are the numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234. 888-234-1234 out of the area. And you can go to autoflex.com, click on our pre-owned cars, and click on the specials and see the Save Money Monday cars there. And those are cars that are going to go to auction on Tuesday. If you don't buy them on Monday, we mark them down. We offer them to the public for one day. So it's a great time to save money and get a great pre-owned car from AutoFlex. Save Money Monday cars right there at autoflex.com.
Mm-hmm. Can they scoop up one of those cars today, David?
If they ask. Yes. They're already marked down. Yeah, they're already marked down. So you can also go to either one of our locations at 2000 West I-20 in Arlington or on Central Expressway just south of Beltline Road in Richardson and see the cars there.
You know what else people are doing today? And I found this on my way in today. I almost said on my way in. I just said that. Car washes. Because of the weather we've been having. And I stopped by to get my car washed and I was just going to do a quick drive through. Six cars in front of me. I waited for half an hour. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Yes. So you people stay in bed, go home, go to sleep, and then wash your car tomorrow.
The car washes are going to be jammed up all weekend.
I know.
It's
Although,
my list.
It is supposed to rain tomorrow, 50% chance, so maybe you shouldn't wash your car.
I still want all that salty stuff off the car.
Yeah, because that can ruin your paint. We've talked about that before. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All right, let's talk a little bit about iPhones. Because that is something that usually people have when they have their new car.
Well, you know, it's funny. People trade iPhones fairly regularly. And now people are starting to trade cars for the same reason that they trade iPhones. And that is upgrade envy. And what that means is the 2012 car didn't have all of the things that the 2015 does.
Mm-hmm.
If you look back, I mean, it's pretty crazy how much technology has changed just since 2011, 2012. So, you know, if you look at cars, if you looked at 2012 cars, almost none of them had the connectivity that cars have now. If you go back to 2009, almost none of them had skid control, which is a very basic thing that we consider a big safety point of getting a car now. So what's happening is people get gadget envy. They see the new cars. They look at the connectivity, they look at all the safety devices, they look at the adaptive cruise controls and the lane departure warnings, and some cars will keep you in the same lane and have you follow behind the car in front of you, so you don't even have to touch anything if you're on the highway. you can just let the car go and it'll drive in the same lane and keep a safe distance between you and the car in front of you. All of those things are available now that weren't available a few years ago. And what we're seeing is a much, much shorter trade cycle being caused by accessories and not the look of the car, which is a first for the auto industry. It's never happened before.
Well, we've talked a lot about what do you factor in when buying a car, and I think we decided that women say safety and men usually say style or features. So now is technology kind of taken over for both of those?
Yeah, I think it's a big thing. I mean, how big of a thing was it with you, Tammy, when you looked for your new car?
For technology?
Yeah.
I wanted my phone to stay connected, and so far, thank you, Acura, it has. It has not unconnected from the car since the day I set it up, so that's not a problem. Also, my parents told me that it is much quieter to listen, the Bluetooth conversation from my Ford Edge to this. Now, it could be the upgraded sound system. I'm not sure if this, that's the speakers coming out. I'm not sure why.
Mm-hmm.
The car's a little quieter, but they said it's a huge difference in on their end to listen to me.
Less road noise.
So, probably so. And then, of course, good fuel economy. Everything's going to have better fuel economy because the government has mandated that. No matter what the gas prices are doing right now, that's the way things are going. So they're making great strides in fuel economy. That's something that people are going to want to think about because any way you can save, even if gas prices aren't through the roof, it is something that you can save if you have a more fuel-efficient vehicle. So the technology was important, but for me it was the ride and all the airbags.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But now that's standard in all cars, right?
Yeah.
Pretty well. I mean, there are a few cars that don't have side curtain airbags, the ones that come down from the roof, which protect you from your head being popped on the window in a side impact or a rollover, you know, which is a big thing.
Right.
Some of them don't have that, but pretty well all of them have airbags all the way around you. And the skid control and all of that is standard. Let me tell you, one of the biggest things, a backup camera.
Yes.
Pretty well every 2015 has backup cameras. And that is one of the handiest things that you can have on a car.
I would never have another car without it.
Mm-hmm.
And I had someone tell me recently they were test driving and they couldn't get used to using it. It was throwing them off. I said, oh, just give it a few days. It was odd to me at first, but now
yeah.
I couldn't live without it. I mean, I still look behind me. The other thing that's nice to have, and this car doesn't have it, I can add it if I want to, are the parking sensors. You know, the little sensors in the bumpers that beep.
If you start to get too close.
Now, I have the backup camera, so that tells me.
Right.
But the beeper, I don't know, looking in the camera is a little bit different. And when you hear the sound, you know, oh, wait a minute, I've gotten a little bit close. So to me, my best advice I could give somebody, get the backup camera and those sensors in the bumper, at least in the back, so that when you are backing out and you get a little too close to something, it also tells you. Because you kind of get used to the Cameron, you whip out pretty fast.
Well, here's the other thing. You know what happens? They got those little bitty short parking poles in different places.
Yes.
And you can hit those. They can be behind you and you don't see them.
My dad told me those are called bollards.
Bollards.
Anything that comes up out of the ground to keep a car from crashing into something, like around the gas pumps at the gas station
right.
and in front of the 7-Eleven, you've got so that people don't run through the... Although they still try to do that and steal ATMs. Everybody needs bollards in front of their store, but that's what those are called.
Good to know.
Just so you know. It's a good name. Look at that. Watch out for the bollard.
I'd be like, what?
Where is that?
It does.
Okay, so basically what's happened is we've seen technology skip a generation as it goes into cars, and that's why cars have so many different advanced things in them now, because it's helped selling cars. If you looked at Volvo commercials, they feature drivers using Pandora, Yelp, and other apps. If you look at BMW, they talk about their heads-up display on the windshield, which is on their $135,000 i8, and is also on their smallest sedan, the 3-Series sedan. Nissan Rogue uses blind spot monitors and other cameras to navigate a whole stampede of bulls. So the car makers realize that this is what is getting people excited, and they're advertising the technology, and it's causing people to trade sooner. We're looking at the shortest trade cycle overall that we have seen in years. In fact, if you look at the leasing trade cycle, it's right at 3 years right now. And it's never been that short. And a lot of the reason for that is people are trading up for technology. They're getting the latest safety and the latest handy devices in their cars.
For me, technology is an added bonus, but usually I'm just tired of driving the same car after a couple years. I'm ready to get something new and different with less miles. So it ends up working out, though.
Well, and let's talk about how people are doing this, because a lot of people are trading sooner and they are trading up because the technology costs money. Since 2009, the average transaction's gone up $3,000. So you're paying more for this technology. And what a lot of people do, and I would advise against this, is they go to a 72-month loan or even an 84-month loan.
Oh.
And that's just crazy.
Yikes.
And I read a story yesterday online written by an auto writer, and he said that cars depreciate so quickly that it takes a long time to pay them down to a point, because they're depreciating and you're throwing money at them, and it takes a long time to pay them down to a point you can trade. Well, the reality is lenders take all their interest up front. So when you're making your car payments, most of that money is going to interest to the bank that financed your car until the car is 3 or 4 years old in the case of a 72-month loan. So it's entirely possible to be in a car 4.5 or 5 years and be upside down on a 72-month loan. What I would suggest is look at a comparable lease package that shortens your term to a term you can live with, and then balance out the payments, because you can lease for 3, 4, or 5 years, and you probably are still better than you would be in a 72-month loan, and you still get the great technology that's available today.
I spoke to a client this past week. It's interesting the perception that they have. She felt like she got a bad deal because she was upside down in her car. But as we looked at everything, she had done a 72-month loan, and she'd been in for a year and a half.
Oh.
And she drives high miles.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so it goes on and on. Like, you might not have structured your loan package properly, and that's really up to the consumer to decide what they can do. I mean, the dealership, we can offer it, your bank can offer it, but you have to look. So we're here to tell you. You know, try not to make that mistake. If you're buying too much car and the only way it's affordable is 72 months, you might want to peel back how much car you're buying.
Yeah.
I know. That's tough to do. We want, and we want to deal with paying for it later. But honestly, if you want to feel like you got a good deal, you've got to think about it in the whole package, from the finance package itself to the car.
Right.
So if you finance it 72 months and drive high miles, and in a year and a half you want to get out from under it, guess what?
You're stuck.
Well, no, you're not stuck, but it will cost you money,
mm-hmm.
because you're not paying for the vehicle as fast as it's depreciating.
So you just get penalized.
Listen, when my dad started in the car business, 3-year loans were the average.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, certainly.
And that's only been 30-something years ago.
Yeah. I financed the first new car I ever bought for 3 years. Because that was the standard. I mean, you financed a car for 3 years. And the manufacturers built cars. Before that, it was 24 months.
Yeah.
And everyone financed for 24 months because guess what happened every 24 months?
They bought a new car.
Oh. They got a new style.
Yeah.
The cars all restyled every 24 months.
Oh, that part.
So the car would look different in 24 months. So you'd buy a 57, and in 59, the car would look altogether different. So you'd finance for 24 months, car's paid for, go down and get you another car payment.
But cars were $3,000 back then.
Right.
Well, that is true. So anyway, there's so much more technology coming down the pike. There's probably no end to this cycle of the technology improving. By 2020, most of the cars are going to drive themselves in traffic. They're going to drive themselves on the highway. They're going to all have internet connectivity, which, by the way, you'll have a monthly fee for. That's the one thing they don't talk about when they talk about, hey, this car has Wi-Fi. Well, guess what? It's like having another phone.
Oh.
Yeah.
So that doesn't tie into your current.
No. It's its own little hotspot, and you get to pay for that hotspot. Now, it won't cost as much as most cell phone plans, but it'll be $15-$20 a month.
I'm just wondering, why would you do that if you already have an iPad or some sort of a tablet or a phone?
Well, because if you're somewhere you can't get connected, it means you're connected everywhere you go. And everyone wants to be
connected
all the time. So anyway, I don't really see a change for this. It's like iPhones. I mean, you don't really need a new iPhone, but you want one.
That's right. The latest and the greatest, baby. All right, we got to take a quick break. We'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
Welcome back. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing, with David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard. Not Lane Lewis today. Blackbeard instead of Redbeard. We got JP with us.
What up?
What up? And I'm Sybil Summers. You can give us a call if you have a question. Maybe you're going back and forth between a couple different cars and you want some free advice from the experts. 877-881-1053 is the phone number to the studio. You can also send us your AutoFlex leasing fan texts, as long as you're not driving. 43733, and you can call AutoFlex. What are those numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234, out of the area. As always, AutoFlex.com, where you can get a free Black Book appraisal on your trade-in. That's really sort of cool. Go to AutoFlex.com, click on What's My Trade Worth, and we'll send you a Black Book appraisal on your car. You don't have to fill out a form and wait for someone to call you or any of that. You can get a Black Book appraisal on your trade-in right there at AutoFlex.com. That's one of the coolest things we offer.
Mm-hmm. Earlier we talked about Consumer Reports and J.D. Power coming out with their dependability.
That's the pro, folks. I don't know what to tell you.
And it turns out Mini was at the bottom of both the lists, along with Fiat and Jeep, but somebody fan texted us and asked, does that apply to the older Minis or just the new models?
You know, it applies to Minis across the board. I mean, I've had friends that have had Minis since they've started, and they've always been a little problematic. They're not really bad cars. They're great cars, and they're fun to drive. You know, we had the Grand Prix driver on that was with us 2 years ago.
Oh, my gosh. Who drives a Mini?
Who drives a Mini because he said it's the greatest driving car out there, but it's going to have a few problems. You just got to know that.
Although, yeah. I don't think on these reports, we were talking about 2012 and newer, because they were studying three-year-old cars and the problems per, you know, 100 cars.
That's right.
Going back to 2012. So an older Mini, I don't recall reports like that on the Minis back then, but they did have the very best resale value.
Yeah, they had and they still have tremendous resale value. They're like Jeep Wranglers. You know, Jeep Wranglers got some bad knocks a couple of weeks ago in some reports that came out. But I'm going to tell you, if you want a great resale car, get a Jeep Wrangler.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
They're fabulous.
People don't want to give them up.
And that would have been great this past week, driving through all the snow.
Okay, so we saw on the news that
The
Jeep Club came out and saved the semi-truck. I mean, that's pretty cool.
Thank you guys. You did a great job.
Coming home from the Fleetwood Mac concert the other night was quite an experience, because when you're coming up that bridge from Woodall to 75 heading north, there was a little bitty truck, like a little Frontier or Chevy S10 little truck, you know, no weight in the back. So he's almost to the top of that ramp. But just almost.
Oh, no.
And he's not going anywhere. But here's this guy with a Jeep Wrangler and his tow straps, and he's out there with this guy, and they're hooking it up, and he's about to pull this little truck on over. And all I can think of is, somebody's going to smash into you guys.
No, but you know what? I'm telling you, those guys were great. And that guy on that ramp that night was helping people. That's
awesome.
He was there for the night.
He
was all bundled up. He had tow straps ready to go. And he was pulling people up the hill.
Like, wow. I didn't have anything to do tonight anyway.
Well, that's sort of fun. Mm-hmm. AutoFlex Leasing fan text. I'm at Tommy T's right now, and it's packed. So much for my quickie.
Yes, yeah. We're talking about car washes are jam-packed.
Oh, I'm sorry.
From all this
sure you are.
Understood, yeah.
Yeah, in Arlington, there's 25 cars in front for a car wash.
Yuck!
People have texted in that they do agree that taxi drivers aren't the best.
They say drivers of white pickups are not really good either, so we'll let that lie.
Mm-hmm. All right, here's an AutoFlex fan texter. I bought a used car, a 98 Mustang, over 4 years ago, paid $5,000 cash for it, still driving it today. That is the best deal. I mean, if you can buy a used car, especially if you can pay cash and not have a loan, that debt-free life, that's wonderful. But let's forget about you guys, because you are not stimulating the economy. You are not keeping your money flowing through like we need to, but not everybody's going to do that.
Well, here's the other thing. A lot of people want safety around them. A lot of people want the airbags. I can tell you that ABS brakes saved me from hitting the back of a big truck one time because I could actually slam the brakes on and steer the car on a wet road. So all of those safety devices and equipment that's on cars now is important. And a lot of people, I mean, if you're thinking about your family, you want your family safe. And
Definitely.
The safest cars are the new cars.
Mm-hmm.
So it is the least expensive way to go. Tammy's absolutely right. It's just according to whether you're willing to forego all the safety stuff and the connectivity that the new car gives you.
Well, I think about that 98 Mustang. Probably has front airbags, no side airbags, no airbags in the back. I don't know that the 98 would have the anti-skid control. It possibly has anti-lock brakes.
No.
I'm It doesn't have any of that.
I don't know. It might
I'd have to look
have,
at it.
It
I
might
hope,
have ABS.
Just don't text and drive. Always be paying attention to what you're doing so that you can, you know, steer away from whoever's not paying attention. You don't want anybody to crash into you if your car doesn't have, well, period. You never want anybody crashing into you. But definitely, if you feel like you've got all the airbags and all the things that you can do to avoid the crash, makes you feel a little bit better.
Well, you know, it's just there was a show on last night called In a Second, I believe, or in a Moment,
mm-hmm.
And it's how your life can change. Mm. And if you're in one of those situations, you want all those airbags and you want the ability to control your car.
Indeed.
Because in a second, your life can change.
Got another AutoFlex Leasing fan text, 43733. What do you guys think of the new Tacoma compared with the GMC and Chevy? Oh, compared with the GMC and Chevy light trucks.
I like the GMC and Chevy light trucks. I like the Tacoma more. I mean, that's just me. I think the resale is better on the Tacoma. And from a problematic standpoint, it's going to have less problems. And none of them are going to have a lot of problems. It's just going to have less.
Gotcha.
It's also going to cost more going in, but it's one of those vehicles that it may cost more going in, but might save you money because of the tremendous resale value that it's got.
Mm-hmm. Right. So when you think about buying your car, the only cost isn't what you pay for it. It's what you're going to get for it later.
That's what people don't factor in.
Exactly. That's how a lease works.
And that's how you can figure out what a really good resale car value is to call AutoFlex and ask about leasing certain cars, because cars with great resale value will cost you less whether you lease them, the monthly payment is less, or whether you buy them, the total cost of the car to you is going to be less.
Right. For example, you don't want a car that's going to experience the electric slide.
Wonderful segue.
Like electric slide.
Until you pointed it out.
Well, if you were one of those folks that was going to be super green and go out and get yourself an electric car like a Leaf or a
Volt,
you have experienced maybe the greatest depreciation of any car that I can remember any time in the history of the automotive business. Leafs and Volts have dropped like 40-45% of their value in the first 2 years. Oh. It's crazy.
I'm seeing they're worth a quarter of their original value after like 3 years.
Ouch.
Yeah.
So if it was $40,000, now it's worth $10,000.
And so if you looked at them compared to gasoline cars of comparable price and size, you would pay $40,000 plus, $36,000 plus for a Leaf or a Volt. You would pay $22,000 to $16,000 for a Chevrolet Cruze or a Nissan. And after 3 years, they're worth the same. That's
huge.
Why
is that?
Well, because gasoline is less expensive. And another thing that's a phenomenon, first of all, in order to sell these cars, they have to sell a lot of alternative fuel vehicles in order to maintain their position with government standards. The government has mandated each manufacturer must sell X amount or a percentage of their business needs to be alternative fuel vehicles. So they get a lot of credit every time they sell an electric car. In order to sell them, they're so darned expensive, they put them on very inexpensive lease programs, and then when the cars come back off lease, nobody wants them because they're afraid of the resale value. So they're starting to stack up, and the more of them that are available, the less they're worth.
Yeah,
and so the law of sale and demand, no matter what the government mandates, the law of supply and demand still applies, and they're getting to be worth less and less, and they're stacking up on the owners, on the manufacturer's lots, the dealer's lots, by the thousands, literally.
In addition to the discounts they give on the car, they get a big federal tax credit for buying these cars.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a $7,500 federal tax credit on the purchase of a new Leaf. So when you get that, plus the discounts, and then this super cheap lease, and that tax credit is for you to do your taxes later on. That's just a big tax credit. You get to deduct that right off your top of your earnings, I guess.
Well, so ALG, the company that publishes residuals that most of the manufacturers use, has stated that they just didn't know they weren't going to maintain resale value. When you talk consumers about buying a used one, the consumer goes, you know, I'd really rather not because I'm afraid that the batteries will go out,
mm-hmm.
and I'm the second owner, and if the battery goes out, that's terribly expensive. If you look at how much money these manufacturers will lose on these cars, they're losing between $4,000 and $6,600 per vehicle at the end of the leases, and those are all 3-year leases, So that's, say you use a round figure of $5,000. That's $5,000 a car. And right now, in 2015, they're going to have 25,000 of those cars come back, right, mm-hmm. on three-year leases. So $5,000 a car times $25,000 a car.
It's a lot.
It's $125 million this year.
Wow.
It's what they're set to lose in electric cars that are coming back.
This Autoflex leasing fan texter brought up an interesting question. We talked about the more affordable models like the Chevy Volt and the Nissan Leaf, but what about Tesla, like a more high-end version of an EV?
Actually, Tesla has maintained its value because there's not many of them.
It's
and it's a $100,000 car, and people desire big luxury cars. Also in California, it's the only thing you can ride in an HOV with now. So because all of the hybrids they've sold enough hybrids that they've lost their stickers to ride in the HOV.
Wow. So peaceful plug-in electrics, the Leaf would work.
Exactly. The Leaf will work. Electric cars work. So Teslas sell really well, and they resell really well, but they're the only ones.
All right, we got to go gas up and recharge the battery, but we'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing, with David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, JP, and me, Sybil. Phone number, 877-881-1053. Autoflex Leasing fan text is 43733, and boy, are they coming in fast and furious now. You can also call Autoflex. The numbers are
817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234, out of the area. As always, autoflex.com, where you can go online, set up a test drive online. If you want to drive a Mazda, a Ford, and a Toyota, we'll set them up side by side for you. You can come in and drive them and make a really, really good decision. By the way, it's not only rich people or doctors and lawyers that lease their cars.
It's true.
The vast majority of people that lease their cars from us are teachers and pharmacists and people that work in warehouses. Most of the people that lease cars want to save money every month on their car, and most of them realize that cars depreciate very, very quickly, so it doesn't do a lot of good to put money into a new car.
And along those same lines, it's not just luxury vehicles. There used to be the misconception that leasing was always going to be high-end vehicles.
If you look at our number one lease car, it's probably going to be a Toyota or a Honda, and it's going to be a family vehicle. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a Corolla. It's going to be a Nissan Altima. That's what people lease the most of.
What about a 2016 Mazda 6? We have a fan texter who says he wants one. He's a first-time car buyer. He was offered 10% interest rates, but he has to put $1,500 down. Can he get a better deal if he has a higher credit score?
Okay, first of all, he's a 680 Beacon. Yeah, he should be able to get a lot better deal than that. I advise anyone not to buy a new car. Mm-hmm. If you're going to get a new car, lease it. It's just because you lose so much money. He doesn't have to buy that car if he doesn't want to. He's got a 680 Beacon. He's probably good to go pretty well anywhere he goes, and he'll get better than 10%.
Buy used.
Yes.
Lease new.
Buy a 2015.
Yeah. Let somebody lease one, and then you get the big savings later mm-hmm. on. And guess what? At Autoflex, you can save twice because you can lease a pre-owned vehicle. Oh, my gosh!
That works, too.
You know, that's like a double whammy in a good way. So you already take the pre-owned vehicle, so it's depreciated. You're going to save a huge percentage right off the bat. Then structure that into a lease because you only want to drive it for, you know, 3 or 4 years. So we go ahead and subtract the future value of the car when it's X number of years old, and you're just paying the difference. That's the only way to go, especially if you want something highline. That's a deal.
Autoflex Leasing Fantext, what do you guys think about the Ram Echo Diesel? I think it's probably the best diesel on the market right now. Some people might argue that Ford is, but I like the Ram an awful lot. By the way, Ram was smart enough not to throw all of the connectivity in their car until they saw everyone else make mistakes, and then they put it in when they knew they had it right. I thought that was really smart.
Mm-hmm.
Can you get a better deal with a 700-plus Beacon score? Absolutely. You can get about the best deal out there.
Financing deal. It doesn't change the deal on the car.
No.
Itself, you know, how you negotiate your car deal, but it will affect your financing.
What is the resale value on a 2014 Kia Sorento? Thanks, Tim from Arlington.
That's a good question to call one of our offices.
Yeah.
Because we don't have our Autoflex leasing computer system here at the show, but it sounds like you're looking at pre-owned, so you've already made the best decision. The big depreciation has already happened.
And you can call the office at 817-234-1234, and they can tell you what the resale value on that car is versus other cars in the same class, because we do all makes and models. We don't really care what kind of car you get as long as it works for you.
As long as you get it from us.
I like this Autoflex leasing fan texters. If they didn't make the electric cars look so stupid looking, I might be more inclined to buy one.
Well, they certainly they made them very distinctive for a reason, so they would stand out because they thought that would be the best sell.
I believe that's one of the things that made the Prius really take off, because that was, you know, our first hybrid.
Yes.
And I have to say, I was anti. I was not for them. I said, oh, this is going to, you know, it's going to change. Gas prices are going to go down. But they did better than I thought they were going to, and part of the success was they were unique looking. They stood out, and everybody could say, yes, I'm green. It had a little leaf on the back.
Okay, so if you go all the way back to the 50s, they talked about having nuclear cars. Cars driven by nuclear power that you would never need to fill up. I promise you, Popular Science had it. They published it. Radioactive cars.
Hey!
Nice. Thank you, JP. That's excellent. Okay, so
you can get one of your own in Russia.
You can, because they've got a big problem over there. There are a number of cars hitting the eastern blocks of Russia, eastern bloc states, that are literally radioactive. They've been shipped out of Japan after the Fukushima incident. Some of these cars were evidently in storage somewhere close to the nuclear meltdown.
Okay.
And you can spot them pretty easy because they're stored on a lot. They don't need to put lights on at night.
Yeah.
They just sort of glow.
I thought you were going to say they were purposely radioactive and using nuclear energy.
No.
And Japan won't take them back.
No.
China won't take these cars.
And the Russians don't know what the heck to do with them. And they've got more and more of them showing up at different places. Vladivostok, some of their bigger cities have got hundreds of these radioactive cars showing up. And they're just having to impound them and store them and keep them away from everyone.
Why can't they destroy them?
Well, they're going to have to eventually.
But again, you know, whatever's left is still radioactive.
Radioactive! Whoa!
So, I mean, even if you tore the thing apart, it's still radioactive.
You gotta bury it.
How do you get rid of that?
You got to bury it.
There's some kind of antidote, right? I mean, I don't know.
No, I think that's one of the big horrible things that is about the whole, there's no antidote for radio.
Weird.
Yeah. Radiation.
We're going to have a bunch of mutant people coming out of
Russia.
It's just
awful
Japan.
That it's even happening, that those cars weren't, you know, if they were anywhere near it, weren't relegated to an area where this could never have happened. It's so disappointing.
I didn't realize it could happen to something inanimate like that.
Okay, let's finish up on the 10 weirdest automobile accessories ever. And for folks that have never seen a J.C. Whitney catalog, you can't really appreciate this. But from the 50s, 60s, in the 70s, in the 80s, J.C. Whitney published a catalog of car accessories. And if you go back, especially into the 50s, in the late 50s, when everyone thought everything was possible, they had some just awesome accessories that you could buy for your car.
This is like Sky Mall before Sky Mall.
Exactly. Exactly. The J.C. Whitney catalog. So even before car makers began offering talking cars in the 70s, you could buy an accessory that would play a melodic sound if you left your door open. It would include like Ave Maria or Call Me, Let Me Call You Sweetheart. That cost $4.98.
That's kind of a lot for back
then.
Yeah. It is. Well, okay, so considering this year's cold snap, maybe the fuzzy car muffs would have been the thing to have. They offered fuzzy car muffs, so you could wrap your steering wheel, you could wrap your mirror, you could wrap your visors or your outside mirrors in fuzzy wraps. They went from 79 cents to $1.50.
They still have those via seat covers.
Okay, can I just tell you my favorite one? The Duplex Left Foot Accelerator. For new driving comfort, use the left foot and rest the right foot.
So they had an accessory for your car that would go on the left side of the brake pedal, and it would attach to your accelerator so you could accelerate with your left foot.
Okay, that's dangerous.
Okay, first of all, I got to say, if my grandmother had that, first of all, she braked with her left foot and accelerated with her right foot. It was one of the jumpiest rides across town you could ever have. It's like, wait a second, I thought we were going. Nope. Okay. Yeah. So I don't know with all of these. That's $1.98 for that one.
Mm-hmm. Okay, long before you could catch every big race on one of the 500 cable channels that we all have, you could actually buy a record with a recording of the race from J.C. Whitney and Company. You could get like the Le Mans race, or you could listen to Carroll Shelby or Sterling Moss describe the race. Those went from $5 to $5.98, and they would go perfectly with the record player that J.C. Whitney sold for your car. That's so, right, folks. You could get a record player for your car. Now, it didn't really tell you that if you hit a bump or you went around a corner, it would scratch the heck out of the record.
Mm-hmm.
But you could buy a record player for your car.
How about the in-the-car coffee maker kit?
Yeah!
For $17.95. I'm just, as soon as you hit a bump, what this stuff's going to go everywhere, but you could brew your coffee in the car.
And finally,
that's before Starbucks, of course.
And finally, before we had the brake light in the back window, J.C. Whitney had the Winky, the Duchess, and the Mac, and they were plush animals that you could mount in your back window, and the eyes on whichever side your turn signal on was on would flash, or if you put the brakes on, both eyes would light up. They were little plush toys that sat in the back package tray.
There was no room for those plush toys in the package tray because I was laying in the package tray.
Total package.
Then. How many of those people born in the 60s and possibly even the 70s, their parents allowed them to ride back there in that back window and get sunburned and fly through the windshield if you crazy.
Totally.
Crazy.
I like this one, by the way. One more quickie. There was a foot-operated radio selection switch where you could change the station with just like a pedal on the floor.
I've seen those.
Great.
I've seen those. That's sort of crazy. You could touch it. It had a Wonder Bar on the, you know, and it would move to the next station. They call that the Wonder Bar.
The Wonder Bar.
When it would change stations automatically. You didn't have to push a button or turn it.
Yeah, and remember when your bright light switch was in the floor?
Yeah.
And you'd click that with your, you don't. So she's like, yeah. With
this, I've learned like, two things today, about? Bollards and Wonder Bars. It's an informative radio show. I'm going to start listening more often.
Yeah, bollards were, I think, initially used to, you know, more boats, you know, ships and things. They'd tie onto these posts, and of course, they found more uses to keep cars from crashing through windows.
Got about a minute and a half, so we have a little bit time for some more fan texters. This guy says, my coworker says it's illegal to drive with your left foot.
Well,
how would they know?
Might be. I don't know. It's dangerous, I can tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
How about this? I've got to ask, why is the Jeep the only vehicle that U-Haul and Penske won't allow to tow their moving trailers? Call them and ask them. I don't know. I can't figure that out because they'll haul them.
Uh-huh.
Huh.
What's the best 3/4-ton diesel truck, in y'all's opinion?
I like the Ram, personally. So that's just me. And it's really a matter of personal taste and how you fit in the truck. If you're thinking about a 3/4-ton diesel truck, give us a call. Let us set a Ford, a Chevy, a Dodge, and anything else you want to set up side by side and see how you feel driving, because that makes a big difference. You're going to be in it a long time. You're going to be in it a lot. Make sure it fits you. Can the credit score I look at online be different from what you may get from a bank?
Yes.
Absolutely, yes. Different institutions
like banking
have different criteria when they look at your score. Like automotive looks at it one way, where a residential lender for a home would look at it a different way. So, yes, it can be different.
And the furniture store offering credit looks at it a totally different way.
Mm-hmm.
But you can get a basic idea. You can use that Credit Karma thing to kind of get an idea, at least see what's on your credit, which is nice. And you can get your bureau pulled. Don't go around when you are shopping for a car letting everyone pull your credit, because now within a certain amount of time, you can that doesn't count against you, but over a long period of time, it can. So just call one place, figure out who you want to do business with, and stick with them.
If we didn't have a chance to get to your Autoflex Leasing fan text, you can call Autoflex. They're open right now at both locations, 817 or 972-234-1234, or go online to autoflex.com. And if you go to the Facebook page, you can follow along with all the stories we talked about right here on the show. We'll be back next Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Thank you to JP, a.k.a. Blackbeard. Thank you to Eden for bringing us bagels and coffee. That's what you heard us chewing. For David Blassingame and Tammy Pickard, I'm Sybil Summers. This has been the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing. Meow.